Have your Bibles, we want to turn to the book of Acts and the chapter 1, that portion that we read together. The book of Acts and the chapter 1. And with our Bibles open, we'll pray and ask for God's blessing to be upon His Word. Loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we have the Word of a living God. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity of coming to preach Thy Word and to listen to it. And we pray for help. We pray, Lord, that Thou would pour out Thy Spirit upon the preaching, the hearing of Thy Word now in our midst. We pray the Lord Jesus Christ would be uplifted, that, Lord, He would be seen, that He would be praised. We pray for help. Give us help now, Lord, in our time of need. And be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, we find our text, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. By many infallible proofs. We say today from the pulpit that the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a keystone of our Christian faith. And we say today, if this stone is taken away, our faith and everything that we hold dear and everything that we believe, it falls to the ground. We cannot do without the resurrection of Christ. We think of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13 to 15. He said, if there be no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And we are found false witnesses of God. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And the Apostle Paul says it out in black and white before this people. And he says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain. And if Christ is not risen from the dead, then, he says, your faith is vain. And he says, not only that, but you shall be found false witnesses. And even more than that, ye are still in your sins. And friends, we can see by these words the importance of the resurrection of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I rejoice today in this congregation and in this church. We can say boldly from the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. We can say, as it is found in the Bible, the Lord is risen indeed. And we say that dogmatically. And we say that very boldly, that Jesus is alive. Now we know in this day and age, many people deny the resurrection of Christ. Many people have laughed at it. Many people have stood in different denominations and they have preached against the resurrection of Christ. We know that is true all around us. But let me say this. The resurrection can be proven. The basis of our resurrection is not based on man's notions. No, as it says in our text, He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. This is the only time in the Bible you'll find this word infallible. Only time. Not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. And listen, it is only mentioned in relation to the resurrection of Christ. And here is Luke writing about the life of Christ. And he said He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. Infallible means without error. Without error. Jesus Christ can prove Him to be alive. Isn't that amazing? People laugh, as I say. People deny the resurrection of Christ. Yet the Bible says, without error, it can be proven. With many infallible proofs. We want to prove today that Jesus is alive. Thus the teaching of this church. This is the teaching of the Bible. Yes, we remember his death. We remember in his love, Christ going to the cross, making a sacrifice for our sins. We remind ourselves that it was for us that he loved and he died. But he's alive. And he's alive forevermore. And there's many infallible proofs to teach us so. I want to look at these infallible proofs that Jesus is alive. The first one I want to look at is his absence from the sepulchre. Now let us as the people of God obey the words of the angel. Over in Matthew 26, 8 verse 6, the angel says, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." That was the message of the angels. They were saying unto these people, well, let's come and see where he lay. Let's go to the gravesite. Let's have a look into the tomb where the Lord was. And we do find that that happened. Because over in Luke chapter 24, we find that there were ladies very early in the morning, and it says in verse 1, came onto the sepulchre. Now, do you see these ladies leaving home? They're coming to the grave where Christ was laid. They're coming to the sepulchre. And it tells us in verse 2 what happened. And they found the stone rolled away, listen, from the sepulchre. And they entered in, verse 3. And they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now listen what happened. Here were ladies loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They were coming early to the sepulchre in the morning. They came to the sepulchre. And when they came, the stone was rolled away. And when they went down into the tomb, what did they find? They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't there. And you can find that was the message in verse 6 of the angels. He's not here. And we find in verse 12 when they went to tell Peter, Peter came running onto the sepulchre. And he ran down into the sepulchre and he looked into it. And Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't there. That's the teaching, you see, of the Bible. Many infallible proofs. And one of the proofs is his absence from the sepulchre. The body of our Lord Jesus was not in it. Now I know, and you know yourself, that many theories have come about. Where did his body go to? Some people had said about that it was stolen by the disciples. That's why it was missing. Remember Matthew 28 verse 13, the Jews said unto them, "Said ye the disciples came by night unto the soldiers and stole away while we slept." Just tell this story. This was the soldiers who were to guard the body of Christ, remember, in the tomb. And the old Pharisees and the old scribes says, "Well, you better tell everyone that the disciples came by night while you were sleeping and they stole the body." But such a thing is not true, of course. How did these men get past the Roman soldiers? And if the guards were sleeping, how did they know the disciples stole it? They were sleeping. How did they roll away this great stone without being detected? Remember, the disciples were fearful at this time. Do you think they were brave? Do you think they planned to run to the sepulchre and take away the body of Christ in the dead of night that was, remember, surrounded by Roman soldiers with all of their weapons? You see, such a thing was a lie. Because if they stole the body of Christ, then they were telling lies. For they preached that Jesus was alive. But nevertheless, this is one of the theories people go out about why Christ was not in the sepulchre. The Jews stole him. And then some people would say, well, there were robbers came and stole him. It wasn't the disciples. There was other people who stole his body. But dear friends, such a thing would have been on through. Imagine the price you would have got if you had the body of Christ. And remember if the disciples were out and they were preaching, "Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore." Imagine them standing on the streets of Jerusalem preaching the resurrection of Christ, and these men had the body. Do you not think they would have produced it? Do you not think they would have went up and tapped some of the disciples on the shoulders? Excuse me, you said this man's alive. Listen, there he's there. Do you not think if the robbers stole the body, they would have made a fortune on that body? The scribes and Pharisees would have given a great sum of money just to get the body of Christ, just to disprove that Christ rose from the dead. But you see, friends, the whole thing was a lie. Do you know what the Jews really tried to do? They tried to keep the body in the grave. They were not interested in stealing the body of Christ out of the tomb at all. Their whole plan and their whole purpose was to keep Christ in the grave. That's why the stone, that's why the soldiers, they didn't want him out. But again, people tell this theory that someone stole the body of Jesus. Some people actually would even say that the ladies went to the wrong tomb and found it empty. No, people believe anything rather than believe the truth. Do you not think if the ladies went to the wrong tomb that somebody would have said, excuse me, you're at the wrong tomb? Do you not believe something? Of course, the scribes and Pharisees would have loved it. They would have said, these are only foolish ladies. Do they not know the Savior is over there? And take them by the hand and lead them to, and perhaps open up the Savior and bring him in and show them the body of Jesus. But some said that the ladies went to the wrong tomb, but that is not true. Listen, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. They went to the right grave. They came to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was laid. Peter went. The ladies went. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there. And I want to say to everyone today in this congregation, that's a great proof that Jesus is alive. That's a great proof. You can go to Egypt and stand at the great graves of kings. You can go into Westminster Abbey in London and you'll see all the graves of great men and great kings in the past. Even Muhammad, the false prophet, has his grave. And thousands upon thousands go to the graveside of these kings. But they don't go to Jesus. But he hasn't got one. And people go and they stand at these graves and they know that the body of such and such a person, it may be a prophet, it may be a king, but they know that the body of such a person is in the tomb. But there's none for the Lord Jesus. It's empty. That's why some people have been in Israel. I have never been in Israel, but they tell me there's such a place, empty tomb, and so on. It's empty. And that's a great proof to us. There's no grave for Christ. He's alive. He's alive. These ladies went and they found not the body of Jesus. His absence in the sepulchre is a great proof. Then there's another proof. The appearances of the saint is a great proof. If you look at our text, it says here, and whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Listen, he showed himself alive. That's the teaching of the Bible. After his passion, after his death, the Lord Jesus Christ came back from the dead and he arose from the grave victorious. But listen, he showed himself alive. There are many appearances of the Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in John 20, we find him appearing on to Mary Magdalene. There she was standing weeping at the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her heart was broken. She had lost the one that she loved. But do you read John 20? The Lord Jesus appeared to her. Now, of course, she thought he was the gardener. But at the very end, around in that chapter, she found out that it was Jesus. Because it says in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. What a message she had to proclaim. She had running into the apostles, I have found the Lord. He is alive. He has come up from the grave. I have seen the Lord. Maybe some people would say, that's a silly woman. She imagined it. But remember this, the disciples first heard it, they didn't believe it. Maybe some people would say, well, just this lady, she thought she saw the Lord. But dear friends, the appearance of Christ doesn't end there. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I have not time to take you through all the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can find them in the Word of God. You can find in Matthew 28 verse 8 to 10 about the ladies leaving the tomb. And there he is. The Lord Jesus Christ. The King of glory. He stands before them. And it tells us about the ladies. They fall and they hold his feet. Ask the ladies, is he alive? Of course he's alive. They held the very feet of Jesus. They saw that he was alive. Think of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. There they were traveling and their hearts were sad. And yet it tells us that the Lord Jesus drew alongside and he went with these disciples. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus appeared unto Peter, which was a private appearance. He came to Peter. In Luke 24, verse 36 to 42, it tells us that he came in the disciples, remember, in the upper room. They were closed in by fear, and the Lord Jesus appeared, and you know, he invited them to touch him. Now, Thomas wasn't there, as we know, but he was there a week later. And he told Thomas to put his fingers into his wounds and into his side. And when Thomas, you know, when he saw him, what did he say? He said, my Lord and my God. And what did all these disciples believe? They believed that he was alive. The women at the sepulchre, on the road, the disciples. Here were the disciples in the upper room. And they saw he was alive. He showed himself alive, he said, with many infallible proofs. And you can go on through the Bible. In John 21, verse 1 to 22, on the seashore of Galilee, he appeared to them. Then to the 11 again on the Mount of Galilee in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. And then the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, he appeared to over 500 people at one time. Now, do you see the volume of people who saw that Jesus was alive? It was just not one person or two persons, but over 500 people at one time saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was alive. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. You know what Paul was writing? Remember this. This book was written 20 years after the resurrection. And Paul tells a lesson here to the church of Corinth that over 500 people saw that Jesus was alive, and he said here that many of such people are still alive. You can go and ask them. The greater part of that 500 people were still alive themselves. You can go and knock their door. You could go and have a conversation with them. And you could ask them all about the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see this man called Jesus? And everyone had their story. The greater part of them remained on to that time. And they all had this testimony that Jesus was alive. He appeared many times, you see, even the 500. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 7, he appeared to James, his half-brother, appeared to the disciples again in the reading that we've read together. And 1 Corinthians 15 verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me. He appeared to the Apostle Paul. He saw. Now listen, to all of these witnesses, Jesus was alive. These are the infallible proofs of his resurrection. He appeared to different people, as we've just looked briefly at. He appeared in different places. Sometimes it was in Jerusalem. Sometimes it was in Galilee.
Sometimes it was at the seashore. Sometimes it was at the tomb. Another time it was in the mess road, you see. He didn't disappear in one particular place. Now, we do know the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Sometimes somebody says they saw the Virgin Mary stand there. And that's where they just have this little corner, maybe in some street or village. And then buses and all are flocked in, and some wee man says, "I was coming home," and he maybe was drunk. But he saw her standing there. Isn't that right? Just exactly. And then there's a monument, there's a statue built. And they all flocked to look at this wee spot. No such thing happened, of course. Was not of Christ. He was seen here, there, and yonder. In different places, friends, he showed himself alive. Sometimes there were public appearances, as we have seen. Over 500 people saw him alive. Sometimes there were private appearances. Sometimes it was to Peter, then it was to James. It tells us it was over a period here of 40 days. Imagine 40 days. Different times, different people, different places. The Lord Jesus showed that he was alive. And some could say, "Well, I saw him at Jerusalem." And some says, "Well, I saw him at Galilee, and I saw him well on the mountain, and I saw him at the seashore, and I saw him in my home, I saw him at the tomb." But all these appearances prove something. That Jesus is alive. Many infallible proofs, friends. You look through his appearances, you'll find that he spoke many times. In Luke 24, verse 39 is one, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Touch me, feel me. This is his to the disciples. "Reach out and touch me. You will see I am not a spirit. You will see that I am alive. Behold my hands and my feet." He spoke, you see. They showed him his hands and his feet. Listen, is that not evidence that he is alive? You read through the Bible of the Lord Jesus in Luke 24, verse 41 to 43, about him eating fish with the disciples. Dear friends, there are many actions that only living people can do. And we find when we look at the resurrection appearance of Christ, the Lord Jesus did these things. He walked with the people. He spoke with the people. He gave instructions to the disciples. He ate with them. With many infallible proofs, you see, the Lord Jesus is alive. Thank God we've still got this proof today. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the false prophet says. It's what the Bible says counts. He showed himself alive after his passion with many infallible proofs. He's alive. I'm glad today we are depending upon the word of the living God. The testimony. The testimony from those who walked before us. Their testimony was, he's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. I'm glad I'm dependent upon their testimony. I'm dependent on the testimony of the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the message of the Bible to all of us. Yes, the Lord Jesus has died. Yes, he went down into the tomb. But he arose. And he's alive forevermore. And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Oh, dear child of God, today, there's no room for doubt. He is alive. And the disciples here saw him alive as we were reading together. They saw him rising up into the clouds. They heard the message from the angels. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. He's coming back again. Are you ready?
Are you prepared when Jesus comes back?
He's alive. Listen, every knee shall bow, the Bible says, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a day is before this world, when the whole world will shake, and the Lord Jesus Christ will appear suddenly in all of His majesty.
You can read the Bible. Many will weep and wail. Many when they see Him. Because they're not ready. Oh, dear friend, are you prepared? Are you prepared to see the Lord Jesus? I'm glad I am. I rejoice today there are many in this meeting who are saved by the grace of God, who believes their Savior is alive. We are prepared to meet Him. Are you prepared? Are you ready to meet God? He showed Himself alive with many infallible proofs. The appearances of the Savior is great proof that He's alive. There's another in proof. The action of the saints is a great proof. Look at the disciples before and after the resurrection. See them fleeing the Lord Jesus Christ in fear. Once the Lord Jesus was arrested, bold Peter. Peter says, Lord, I'll die with you. Peter said, all the rest, well, they'll flee, but I'll not be fleeing. Well, we all know what happened to Peter. Peter failed, he fell, he fled. We see the disciples on the Emmaus road, sad and heavy. We can go to the Bible and we see them in the upper room and they're full of fear. And they are full of unbelief. But what a change came over these disciples when they saw Jesus was alive. Read the Bible. In John 20 and verse 20, it says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. And here's what the Bible says of these disciples. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Friends, do you see the change taking place within their hearts? Beforehand, they were cast down. They were full of fear. They were full of unbelief. And then the Bible says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. What changed them? The sight of a resurrection Christ transformed these men who were fearful and weak into warriors at the cross. But the Bible tells us in Acts 4 verse 33, they went away out and preached. Remember, they went out to preach in Jerusalem. It's very easy to preach in a place where you're liked and you're wanted. But remember, these men went out on the street of Jerusalem and preached in the place where they were hated. They had just crucified their Savior. Imagine going out onto the street there. You go first. Maybe some of us would say, well, maybe you go first. But that didn't happen. Because in Acts 4 verse 33, he says, and with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Do you see Him? Going out into enemy's territory. And they went out and they preached. And what was the theme of their message? What did they proclaim in the ears of the Jews and the scribes? They preached about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe only a few yards from the empty tomb. Hear the preaching of these saints. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Do you think they would have done that if He wasn't alive?
Do you really think that these weak, fearful fishermen would have went out onto the streets of Jerusalem, put their life in their hands and preached, Jesus is alive,
if it wasn't through? Do you think they would have done it? Listen, with great power. That's how they did this. It was no feeble, weak message that fell from their lips. But with great power, with the anointing of God upon them, they went out and they preached that Jesus was alive. And dear friend, that's a great proof that Christ is risen. It actually says in Acts 5, verse 29, that they were told not to preach. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were very bold. And these men were very brave. Many of these disciples, listen, died a martyr's death. Peter, in his racket, he was crucified. Could you imagine Peter going through all of this? All of his sufferings. All of the shame. All of the pain. If the Lord Jesus was not alive, Peter believed it, listen, with all of his heart. Let them drive the nails into my hands. Let them put me to death. My Savior's alive. He's alive, you see. The very action of the saints proved this. He's alive. Another thing, friends, in our action was not only of their service, but they changed the day of worship. You will find that the day of worship was changed after the resurrection of Christ. Remember, these were Jewish men. These were men brought up with the law of God. They knew it inside out. They remembered the law of God and the commandments of the Lord, you see. And yet we find after the resurrection, the disciples coming together. When? Was it on the Jewish Sabbath? No. They came together, the Bible tells us, on the first day of the week. The first day of the week, which is today, Sunday. We find the Lord Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene on the first day of the week. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says about the disciples, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. But here's the men coming together to worship. What day did they come together? Well, they came together on the first day of the week. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores, God has prospered him. I talk about collections. Now, when were these collections to take place? On the first day of the week. Everything changed. Remember, this change was in Jerusalem. The disciples were meeting together. They discarded the old rules of their Sabbath that they had at that time. And on the first day of the week, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's alive. They all came together to worship and to praise the God of their salvation on the first day of the week. The day was changed. Remember, John said in Revelation 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The very fact that you're here today proves that Jesus is alive. That's where it's been from the death and the resurrection of Christ. Everything has changed. God's people come together at the first day of the week. Why? Why is it we come to God's house on this day? Because of our resurrected Savior. He's alive. Dear friends, these are infallible proofs that he's alive. Go to the tomb today. It is empty. Look at the Bible. Look at all the appearances of Christ. And then tell me that he's not alive. Tell me if he did not come out of the tomb. Cannot be done. And then today, friends, look at the action of the saints of God, the disciples. Look at those who even followed them. The martyrs to the faith, burnt at the stake for Christ. Do you think those people went through all of these sufferings and all of these things if they didn't believe that the Lord Jesus is alive? Many infallible proofs. God's people, rejoice. Our Savior is alive and alive forevermore. And one day we'll see him. One day we'll look upon his face and we'll tell the story saved by grace. What a day that will be. When my Savior I shall see, when I look upon his face. And tell the story saved by grace. That is the hope of every child of God in this place. by and by we'll see the King. One day we'll dwell with the Lord. But there are others here that are not saved. Oh, we ask you to consider the gospel of Christ. We ask you today to consider Christ and his work and his sacrifice upon the cross. We ask you today to consider the one who is the Savior of the soul. We ask you today to come to Christ. He's alive. You know, when you get saved, he comes to live within your heart. He comes to live within you. He's alive, you see. And he brings you alive. And he saves your soul. Dear friends, the resurrection can be proven with many infallible proofs. He's alive forevermore. Rejoice, child of God. Rejoice today in his house. Rejoice in the presence of our Savior, that he is alive. He walks with us. And he talks with us. And he's coming for us. And we'll be with him for all eternity. May God write his word upon all of our hearts. Amen. Let's close in a wee word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony, the infallible proofs of the Bible, that the Lord Jesus is alive. We thank you. Our faith is not fiction. It is not a fable, but it is truth. It is the truth of God. Our Savior is alive forevermore. He is crowned the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Lord, bless your word to the hearts of all gathered, especially remember those who have not saved. Let them prepare to meet the Lord Jesus. Turn them from their sins, Lord, and bring them to Christ today. Be with each one of us now. Take us, Lord, to our homes in safety. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.